This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Thursday, July the 9th, as we get into some Phillies baseball. Actually seeing some videos from Citizens Bank Park yesterday of the Phillies playing what looked like actual baseball. How about it? An interest God game. The Phillies beat the Phillies 4-3. Look, it was just so great to see actual baseball being played on a baseball field, even if it was, you know, Phillies against Phillies, even if it, you know, was somewhat lax. You know, JT Romito homered and jogged to first. It was like, I don't need to jog the whole way. When he did that, Bryce Harper yelled out, "Sign him!" at the top of his lungs. We'll get to that in a sec. Didi Gregorius, a grand slam yesterday. We saw some air high fives, which Bryce Harper thinks are going to be the coolest thing in baseball this year. I totally agree with him. I think the air high fives, the different celebration routines we could see, have the chance to be pretty fun and special and different. So I am excited about that. Coming up, we'll look at the Phillies lineup. We've talked about kind of projecting what that's going to look like for a while. And obviously with them playing baseball yesterday, a good day to dive in to that. A couple notes first, two quick things. One, the sign-in thing. So Bryce Harper comes to camp in a JT Romito jersey. Has been vocal, said the other day when talking to reporters, saying it would be terrible if the Phillies did not re-sign JT Romito. And then again yesterday when Romito hits home run, yells "sign him" at the top of his lungs. All the reporters hear it. They tweet it out. It's a thing, as they say. And we've talked about the Romito contract extension and all that. What, you know, where I come down, that I obviously want JT Romito here for the long term. I think they should sign him, but I also think they need to be smart about it and understand that, which it seems like they do, that the financial landscape, the economic landscape of baseball has been inalterably changed, at least for now, into the near future, if not the further future. And JT Romito just has the grand misfortune of being a free agent this particular offseason, the worst possible offseason to be a free agent in the history of baseball, potentially. You know, since Curt Flood in 1973 was made it a thing, it is about as bad a timing for JT Romito as you could get, and it sucks for him, but as a result, I think the Phillies need to be smart about it. And again, I need them to sign him. He needs to be here. You know, he is too valuable a part of this team. And look, you the Bryce Harper part of this can't be ignored. Like, the Phillies did signed Bryce Harper to a record contract at the time, you know, in terms of total money, obviously on an annual basis spread out over 13 years. So not as big an annual hit year by year. Part of the reason for that, Bryce Harper said, was that he wanted to be able to bring more high-quality players here. The Phillies go out and get JT Romito, who is his best friend in baseball, the guy he thinks is the best player in the league. And now Harper is openly standing for Romito and a contract extension. And they promised Bryce Harper when they signed him that they were going to do everything they could to win here. That was part of the reason he came here. He believed in John Middleton. That was a big narrative, a big talking point when he first got here. So, man, it's a tough situation. This is not simple and easy for the Phillies to figure out, because internally there is pressure for them to sign him. Externally, there is pressure for him to sign him. They also have to be smart about it. It's a unique situation. And Harper is certainly not making it easy on them, and I understand that. Look, Bryce wants his guy signed. So, look, I think it's going to be a fascinating situation how it plays out. I do think ultimately JT Realmuto will be a Philly long term, but I think it's probably going to play into the offseason. You know, I just think that probably makes the most sense. Let the market get set, see what it is, and make sure you sign him rather than give him a contract now based on what he would have been worth in a normal market, which is what he's looking for until he sees that that market is depleted. I think you almost have to let it play out. But again, it's obviously incredibly important they sign him from a team roster perspective, from a building the team perspective. And of course, you know, he's the best catcher in baseball, but also from a, you know, internal pressure standpoint. Bryce Harper, your best player, the face of your franchise, one of the faces of Major League Baseball, is openly calling you out to sign this guy. It is awkward in a way, right? I mean, it is. It's a little awkward. So I think the Phillies are kind of backed into a corner here. It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. All right, getting in the lineup in one sec. One other thing I heard yesterday, I just want to mention, Joe Girardi talked to the media, talked about a lot of things, talked about going back to New York, what that's going to be like, a bunch of stuff. But the thing that stood out to me as the most interesting was talking about the potential need for crowd noise during games to be pumped in to the stadium. I thought it was fascinating because I hadn't thought about the reasoning for it. He talked about the potential for, you know, you can hear a catcher move if you're a hitter. You know, if you hear a catcher slide to the outside, you know it's going to be on the outside part of the plate. Or he said you can hear the communications better between players, between the dugout and players, all that type of stuff, stuff that in a stadium with fans and noise and music and all that stuff, that it is impossible to hear those things. Whereas in an empty stadium with this cavernous echoing sound everywhere, it's much easier to hear these things. I thought that was fascinating. I know the idea of fake crowd noise has been something that's been discussed and debated for all the major sports, basketball, football, you know, the idea of these sports coming back and the uniqueness of the sound, certainly basketball with the sneakers squeaking on the court, that was not an easy thing to say, sneakers squeaking on the court, and of course the potential for guys cursing, you know, all this type of stuff. There's so many factors here that it is going to be unique. We knew that. We know that seeing sports with no fans in the stands is going to be unique. It's going to be fascinating thing to see, but I do think that's an interesting point by Girardi about the crowd noise and the need for it from a competitive balance standpoint, not necessarily from a normalcy standpoint. It'll sound more normal. That was not it, even though it might, you know, it could go either way. I think with the fake crowd noise, it could sound more normal. It could sound weird. We don't know. My guess is it would sound more normal. My guess is they would do a very good job of figuring out the right crowd noise at the right spots. It's obviously tough. You know, when does the crowd crescendo and all that? Like, you know, it's a fly ball. You get excited about a potential home run that, you know, you don't know. You know, there's so many factors of it, and whoever's quote unquote play in that crowd noise, you know, the ups and downs and when to, you know, swell it and not, is going to be a fascinating thing if they decide to do it. So I do think that's going to be a really interesting factor. And I hadn't thought about it in the terms that Girardi had put it in. I had thought about it more in a normalcy terms, you know, kind of keeping baseball as close to what we know it as from a look and sound perspective. But from a competitive balance perspective, I thought that was a really, really fascinating point from Joe Girardi. All right, let's dive into the starting lineup. We are just over 2 weeks away. Tomorrow will be 2 weeks away from opening day. Technically, today we are 2 weeks away from opening day in Major League Baseball, as those the night of the 23rd, the first two games of the season, and the Phillies will open on the 24th. So now a good time to dive into the Phillies roster and see how do we think this is going to play out. Last week we did our 30-man roster projections. And look, we've had some information, some differences. You know, originally, we didn't know when Scott Kingery was going to be here. We didn't know when Aaron Nola was going to be here. We didn't know what was going on with Adam Haseley. It now looks like everyone's here for the most part. Mickey Matuk's still not playing, but Neris is back. You know, the only real question mark, well, two really, Zach Wheeler, because of his wife and labor, it does. I know he's posited some concerns about playing the season. It does seem like he is going to play. I know he's down there working out. We'll see how this plays out. It, you know, look, maybe his wife has a kid and it totally changes his perspective on everything. We don't know. But right now we're assuming that Wheeler will be there for the bulk of the season, maybe not the beginning if his wife gives birth at the beginning. But it does seem like we have the Phillies team here, and Francisco Liriano really the one question mark, because he has been the one player who they have talked about as potentially opting out on the season is something that is considered a possibility for him. We've not heard that about other players. Obviously, Zach Wheeler kind of heard it a little bit about. We've heard some reservations, but we obviously don't know exactly how that's going to play out, but we feel confident Wheeler will be here. Not sure about Liriano. It seems like everyone else will be. So let's dive in. How does this lineup shake out? I think we know from a defensive perspective where people will be on most nights. You know, if you're going around the diamond, you know, and again, obviously people get off days and all, but we're talking like opening day lineup, you know, starting rotation. We know that JT Romuto is going to be catching. We know that Rhys Hoskins is going to be playing first base. I do think there is the potential for, as the season goes on, for Hoskins to DH at times if they're going to bring Alec Bohm up, and if Bohm is more comfortable at first. And I don't know if he'd be more comfortable, just better. He's not very good at third, even though you know it's his natural position. But I know Girardi has talked about the idea that with the DH this year that they could rotate guys in and out of that to get guys rest. I think that is something you will see. I think it is something you should see. I think it is a great way to use the DH, particularly obviously for a team that does not have a quote-unquote DH under contract, so to speak. So I think that makes a lot of sense. So you know Hoskins can be at first. We believe it'll be Kingery at second and Segura at third. Theoretically, those could be flipped depending on what Girardi decides to do, but it does seem like from everything we've heard that Scott Kingery will finally be playing his natural position at second base, the position he's played the majority of his career. I do still argue for the fact that Kingery's versatility is such a valuable part of who he is, and the fact that he can play center field for you, the fact that he can play third base for you, the fact that in a pinch he can play shortstop for you, that he can play all those positions and play them at an average to above average level, I do think is a real asset for a player. But it also does appear from everything you hear, and I know Larry Bowe has talked about this a fair amount, but the idea that for certain players, particularly maybe younger players, as they ease their way, still easing their way into the league, that it would be better for Scott Kingery to just put him somewhere and let him focus on everything else and not having to move around from position to position. And if you're going to do that, I think it makes the most sense to put him at the position he is most naturally comfortable at. So Kingery at second, Segura at third. I think that, look, again, it's one of those things where it's like analytics versus human action type of thing, where it's inherently we don't know that it makes a difference, but we're hearing from people who know Scott Kingery that it could make a difference. So why not give it a shot, right? I mean, I think that Scott Kingery's upside is so high, and we saw some of it last year where he can be a real, and tomorrow we're going to talk about some X-factor players on the team, and we'll talk more about Kingery in this type of idea. But he really is one of those guys on this team who could swing the season one way or another with, you know, if he could take a step forward. We know the talent's there. We know the ability. We've seen the raw ability. We've seen the speed. We've seen the bat. We've seen the defensive prowess. If he could just stick at second base, stay there, and just focus on everything else and maybe take a step forward, I mean, that could be a massive, massive thing for this team. So we'll talk more about Kingery tomorrow in that sense as well. Third base, Gene Segura. Again, you know, I think Alec Bohm is the real question mark in this part of the field. Could he be a third baseman? Could he be a DH? Could he be a first baseman for you? I think, look, there's a chance we see Bohm at all those positions at some point this season. I do think, as we've talked about, they will, whatever it is, if it is that 7 days that it takes to accrue the year of service time, I do think they will do whatever it takes to accrue an extra year of service time for Alec Bohm. So I don't think we'll see him the first week plus of the season, but I do think that after that, look, he ripped a double yesterday. We saw the video. I mean, the thing with Alec Bohm is, look, you can't guarantee that someone is going to hit in the major leagues if they've never been in the major leagues before. But I feel really confident that Alec Bohm is going to hit in the major leagues. I feel really confident about it. I think his bat tool is just that good. You know, is the contact, the ability to make contact, hard contact. You know, I think he's just too talented a hitter to just, you know, all of a sudden implode when he gets to the major league level. I feel really confident. I feel really confident that Alec Bohm will be one of the best nine hitters on this team by the time the season gets going. And thus, they'll need to get his bat in the lineup. Certainly not, maybe not every day, but he will be involved, and I think he should be involved. At least I hope he's involved. But he is the another guy we'll talk about tomorrow more with the whole X-factor idea. But for now, Segura at third, Didi obviously will be the shortstop. The outfield, at least to start the season, seems pretty set with McCutchen in left, Adam Haseley in center, Bryce Harper in right, and then Jay Bruce as the DH. I think that's probably what your opening day lineup is going to look like. Now, again, And I think in terms of batting order, that could go a number of different ways. I think you assume, you know, obviously, I don't even need to assume. I think McCutchen is clearly going to be at the top of the lineup. But then I could see it go a lot of ways. I think you could see Segura in the two-hole. I could see Harper in the two-hole. I could see Realmuto in the two-hole. We've seen a lot of guys in that two-hole. If I had to guess, I would guess they go McCutchen, Segura, Harper in the three-hole, probably Hoskins in the four-hole, either Hoskins or Realmuto in the four-hole, and then probably maybe Bruce in the five-hole, and then the other of those two guys in the six if you want to go lefty-righty. If not, you could go righty-righty, then Bruce in the six-hole lefty. Then I think you're probably seeing Kingery in the seven-hole there, and then you know, Haseley will be in the nine-hole. So Didi probably in the seven-hole, Kingery eight-hole, Haseley nine-hole, unless they want to put Kingery at the bottom of the lineup to have some speed to turn it around. And again, I do think that's something that's pretty cool with this group of players, this lineup, is that I do think there is some versatility in terms of lineup construction. You know, I think that we've seen JT Realmuto bat second. We've seen him bat sixth. We've seen Harper lead off. We've seen him bat cleanup. We've seen him bat second. We've seen Kingery back at the top of the lineup, at the back of the lineup. Same with Segura. We've seen him bat second. We've seen him bat sixth. Didi has batted cleanup for the New York Yankees when he was there and is someone who can move around the lineup. Maybe he'll be higher. Girardi knows him. There's versatility in this lineup from a offensive standpoint in the sense that you have righties and lefties, which is nice. You know, you got a nice mix of both. And you also have a lot of guys who can get on base. You have guys who have some speed. You got a nice mix of speed and power and all that. It feels like a balanced lineup. And then when you add in the potential for like Logan Forsyth to get a start a week at DH or in left field, and you move McCutchen to center and put him there and left for a day, or for a Josh Harrison to get a start, or again, Alec Boehm, Roman Quinn, I think you'll see play some center field, especially if Haseley struggles. So I like the offense. Look, again, if you're – I think this season, as we've talked about, and we will talk way more about over the next week plus as we get closer to the start of the season, but I do think, you know, as I've said, this could be the kind of season where a hot start or a cold start really defines teams' seasons. So it's very hard to predict how things are going to go. And also a season in a unique sense where it does feel like – talent is obviously important. Depth is incredibly important because I do think we'll see a lot of injuries. But I think more than anything, it's a unique situation where, you know, one of my, if you've ever listened to me, you know, one of my big things I always talk about is the idea that, and it's not, you know, complicated or anything, but the idea that humans, athletes are humans. And sometimes I think we expect too much of them as these robotic athletic creatures who are there for our amusement, as opposed to factoring in the human side of all these things too. And this is the biggest year ever for that. There's so many human factors going on this season on a multitude of levels, obviously, that I think that it's going to be about how players and teams deal with those factors that is going to ultimately decide who has success and who has failure this year. That even more important than talent. Look, talent is the most important thing, but in a way, if the talent is even somewhat close, I think that a team that is mentally tough and a team that is fully in can have success, more success in a year like this than they could in any other year, and that's why it makes it so hard to predict and so interesting. I do think if the Phillies end up being one of those teams, certainly one that competes and contends, I think this offense is going to be the reason why, and I think that's pretty clear. I think they're a talented offensive team. You know, they have the potential to be a top 5 to 10 type of offense in baseball, for sure top 10. You know, they have that potential. It is certainly on the table, and I like the depth. I like the fact that as far as it goes for a National League team, they're relatively well set up for the DH with Jay Bruce, with Alec Boehm on the way, all that. I do think that they are pretty well set up for this weird season in a way from that perspective. You know, there are other reasons to be more negative, but I do think the lineup offensively is going to hit, and I think they're going to compete. I think obviously, as we've talked about, it comes down to the pitching, and I think, you know, I think we have a pretty good idea of, assuming everyone's healthy, assuming everyone's there, what the rotation's going to look like. We know it'll be Nola and Wheeler 1-2, and then Arrieta, Eflin 3-4 in some order. I would guess Arrieta is technically the 3 starter, but personally I think Eflin's better, so I would put Eflin as the 3. Either way, they're your 3 and 4, and then that 5th starter spot comes down to You know, Nick Pivetta, Ranger Suarez, Vince Velasquez, maybe even a mix of guys. We've talked about the idea that teams could use two guys for three innings each or whatever, potentially. That seems like a perfect type of strategy for those two guys, especially a guy like Velasquez, whose numbers the third time through an order are so unbelievably horrendous that it's like, why not just, you know, throw him a couple, one time through the order, two times through the order, and move on. I mean, that could work, you know, and a time and a half through the order, whatever. So, I think it's going to be interesting. I think ultimately, if the Phillies get off to a solid start and if they are really have a chance to compete this season, I think ultimately Spencer Howard becomes that fifth guy. And look, injuries could also play a part in this. I do think we're going to see arm injuries. I'm concerned about arm injuries. I think if it is Spencer Howard, all of a sudden he's, you know, in terms of talent, like you're three, then it's a whole different story on how this team looks. He is someone we will talk tomorrow about as well in the X Factor show, as he might potentially be the biggest X factor this season, one of them. You know, there are a few. Again, we'll get into all of them tomorrow. I've got a list of players who I think are X factor players for this season for one reason or another. And really, you know, look, you could say the whole team is in this unique season and everything matters so much in such a short season. It's all kind of X factory in a way. But we'll dive into that tomorrow. So I think we know how the rotation is going to shake out. I think the Phillies' ultimate ability to, again, really contend this year or just kind of fall where people expect them. I think they're a 500 baseball team at worst. You know, that type of team. What they were last year, I think, is their floor. Again, floor being a relative thing in a year where if you start off 1-6, all of a sudden your team could just check out and you're just goes the wrong way. I mean, there are so many weird scenarios for how this season can go for most teams that it's hard to, you know, it's the hardest season ever to predict. I don't think there's any question about that. But assuming the Phillies, you know, something like that doesn't happen and they can get off to a solid enough start, you know, I do think that you kind of have to give Howard a shot to be a part of this thing, in a unique year where you won't pound his arm to death, you know, where he's got the chance to give you innings that matter, but also, you know, not keep that extra, you keep that year of extra service time, you get innings that matter, all that. I think ultimately, as I think we all know, the season, again, if they don't, are not one of those teams that just gets out to a bad start and is out of it. I think the season's going to come down to their ability to hold leads. And, you know, I think they'll score runs. I think the starting staff will not be great, but I don't think it'll be the worst in baseball, especially if Spencer Howard's there all of a sudden. You know, it's middle of the pack. You know, it's not as bad as others. That bullpen is, though. Like we talked about, Hector Neris is your closer, and then it's, you know, the bridge to Neris. I think your 6th, 7th, 8th inning guys are Tommy Hunter, Jose Alvarez, Adam Morgan, Liriano, if he doesn't opt out. I mean, those are not ideal options. They're just not. We all know that. And I think that that's ultimately where this team is going to make or break. The importance of those guys, the bullpen, we'll talk more about some of those guys tomorrow. But, you know, when Hector Neris is the guy you count on the most by far, and that's a concern. Like, Hector Neris, I like Hector Neris. I'm in on Hector Neris. I think he's a really talented pitcher. We've seen stretches where he's one of the best relievers in baseball for a 15, 20-game stretch, whatever. But, you know, we don't forget, it's only been a couple years. We've seen a lot of issues in the 9th inning from Neris, too. So it's far from a lock that guy's going to be shut down for you. And if he's easily the most shut down guy you got, it's a concern. It's a concern. So ultimately, I think that this Philly season will make or break, will hinge, ultimately, again, provided it's not just a cold start and they're out type of thing. I think it'll hinge on the ability of these bullpen arms to step up, their ability to get the most they can out of these bullpen arms, their ability to, if they need to trade for another bullpen arm towards the end of the season, or the ability for one or two of the guys on the taxi squad, the Ramon Rossos or Damon Jones, one of those youngsters to come up and do what Sir Anthony did for them a couple years ago and be an elite-ish type of reliever for them. That's what they need. They need someone to step up in that pen. They need someone to take the reins along with Neris and really be a bridge. And I think that's going to be a fascinating subplot for this team and really can ultimately decide which way the season goes. So that's what the lineup, that's what the roster is looking like heading into the season. We're 2 weeks away from baseball tomorrow. 2 weeks away from the Phillies playing their first game of the season. This is awesome, awesome, exciting stuff. Tomorrow, we'll dive into some X-Factor players. There are a lot on this team. You know, this is a team where there are a lot of guys. We mentioned, three today, and there are more. Four today, there are more. A lot of these guys who can make the season swing one way or the other can really, truly change the fortunes of this team based on whether it's one or the other of believable outcomes for guys. You know, they really could have a lot of swing factor. So we'll dive into that tomorrow and continue to get pumped and get excited for this season, which is really, again, only 2 weeks away from tomorrow. So cannot wait. So until tomorrow, we'll be back. Stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you for listening to another edition of Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.